Hello, and welcome to Turning Data into Dollars, where we ask industry experts to share insights into how to best use your most valuable asset, your data. With an abundance of disparate data sources from social media, email, purchase, digital marketing, research, and more, we help you connect the dots to develop customer engagement strategies that drive sales. Why should you care or listen to us? The reason is simple. At IndiQ, we know what it takes to influence consumer behavior and create evangelists for your brand. We focused our entire business on it. Now, let's get to the show. I'm Nicole DeVault, Marketing Director at IndiQ, and your host for today's podcast. I'm here today with Chris Duncan, President of IndiQ, as well as Jason Sisley, Founder of Den Aviary. IndiQ recently announced their strategic acquisition of Den Aviary, a Chicago-based email marketing services agency, marking IndiQ's second acquisition in the last several years. Chris is here today to talk more about his plan to expand IndiQ's product portfolio, adding greater capabilities to support company growth and fuel innovation. Jason Sisley, former founder of Den Aviary and now Executive Vice President of Strategy at IndiQ, is also here today. Chris and Jason will discuss current challenges facing marketers during the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as how they see clients navigating these challenges and preparing for the second half of 2020. Chris, Jason, thank you for joining me today.
Sure thing. Thanks, Nicole.
Thanks.
Awesome. So let's jump right in. Chris, can you tell us a little bit more about the direction of this company and the strategy behind the Den Aviary acquisition?
Yeah, so thanks for the question, Nicole. So our focus, you know, has long been around loyalty and CRM as a company at IndiQ. And I think one of the things we're hearing a lot more from clients, especially recently, is now that you're collecting all this data, what are you doing with it? How are you helping me use that data to drive our business, meet our objectives, learn more about our customer? So, you know, we really saw a need to build out our activation capabilities. And while IndiQ has always had some capabilities, the Den Aviary acquisition really provides us with a much more robust, powerful activation team that understands technology, understands platforms, and can really take in turn data for our clients into action. And we think that's a really important part of what we need to do as an agency and as a service company, helping our clients do that. It also was just a great cultural fit. I think one of the things I saw right away in meeting Jason and the team was just the cultural fit and how we both can work together and how we both kind of approach our clients and client service and managing accounts and things like that. So it was just a very natural fit culturally and just felt like a very good way to come together both strategically and culturally to make IndiQ a better company.
Awesome. Jason, do you have anything to add about the acquisition and what you look forward to in the future or why you chose to partner with IndiQ?
Yeah, you know, not a whole lot to add. That was a great summary. So, you know, the point about the culture is such a big deal to us at Den Aviary. And, you know, we've worked really hard over our 8-year history prior to the acquisition to really maintain and create a culture that is very focused on customer and the needs of the customer and making sure that we are nimble and you know, acting in the interest of our customers. And that is one thing that we absolutely saw when we were meeting with the IndiQ team. And we had worked together for close to 4 years prior to the acquisition. And, you know, it always felt like when we were on calls together, even with the client, that we were one team. And that was really, really important to us. So, you know, for me, that's a big deal. And then, you know, Chris touched on the other point that's important to us, too, is just the idea of being able to take, you know, large amounts of data that the IndiQ team has worked with in advance and be able to make use of it. And that's what we are very, very good at. So, to me, it just feels like such a natural fit that we do come together. And I think we're going to see in the transition that this is going to be a very, very easy transition for our customers as well.
That's great to hear. Thank you. This is definitely an interesting time to be joining forces and coming together. I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about some of the changes in marketing due to the current state of the economy and what's happening to businesses related to the COVID-19 pandemic. And as the market navigates this ongoing pandemic, data really seems to be the key to engaging with customers. Can you talk, either one of you, about some of the challenges facing marketers during the current COVID-19 pandemic? Maybe a little bit about what you're seeing from your clients or in general?
Yeah, I can start, Nicole. So we're seeing kind of two trends as an organization, and I think the one you touched on there, data, is a really important one. So I think as businesses have been really impacted by the pandemic and have to shut stores or really change their business models in some way, or supply chains are strained, they have to lean in. Brands have to lean into their data even more today. And not just lean into that data and try to understand it better, but consumer buying has changed. So you think about a lot of the stock ups, or, you know, we have a grocery client that their sales are through the roof and people buying more in bulk. Those changes are really important to understand to help inform and make better business decisions. Again, you know, do we have to stock up? Do we have to go deeper in a category? How are our best customers engaging and interacting with our brand? So, we see, clients really looking at their data even more closely, and, analytics team jumping in to help them make marketing decisions. The second piece is really around digital transformation. So, more and more clients that we've talked to have to speed up their digital transformation. So, we were just talking to a client the other day, talking about their 3-year roadmap for digital transformation is now a 6-month roadmap, right? Bringing all of that stuff forward because their customers have changed, their needs have changed. And brands are really focused on what matters and what is meaningful to their customers. And so, those are two areas that we're really looking hard at, on how we can help, how we can plug in, how our analytics team, our activation with Dan Aviary can support their needs, support their strategies.
Yeah, I agree with both of those. I mean, those are certainly a lot of the changes that we are seeing, even before the acquisition, just with Dan Aviary clients. And Chris touched on, industry is a big factor in your products and how diverse your company is, and in how you are able to sort of bend and turn to sort of follow the path that customers are looking for. The other place that we are seeing a change is we have a lot of customers that acknowledge that even coming out of this, things are going to be different. We have changed forever the way that we buy. We have changed the way that we are marketing going forward. And I don't think any of us really know where we're headed there. So what that means to me is that we really need to be focused on data, and our data, do a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of telling us what our customers are looking for and what our customers need. And the most important factor in that is making sure that you're using it properly. So that's a big focus for me, especially heading up the strategy side of things is really keep my hand on the pulse of what our customers are telling us, what our customers are looking for, whether it's increased communication or decreased communication. We're really seeing it driven mostly in part by the by industry, depending on what industry you're in. So it's going to be interesting coming out of this to figure out how things need to change. But I think those that are going through that digital transition are going to be the ones that have a leg up, because you're going to be more nimble. You're going to be able to make changes on the fly based on the information that you're learning and the way that customers are now purchasing from you. And I think that's just an important factor in making sure that you're set up for success coming out of this.
Right, absolutely. It seems like adaptability is key here and more crucial than ever before. You did mention that you think that some of these changes and challenges and trends are here for good, they're here to stay, and things have changed forever. But do you see some of these challenges settling into maybe a more predictable rhythm anytime soon?
Say that one more time, Nicole, more predictable.
More of a predictable rhythm. Maybe, you said things have changed forever. Is that going to be more consistent, or are things still going to be, more unpredictable and adaptability being more crucial than ever. How do you see things playing out in the next couple years?
Yeah, well, you know, so one of the things, and in fact, I just had a call with a client about this yesterday. So, you know, we're developing a new program for a client, and we're essentially migrating some of their emails from one platform to another. But as we are doing that, there's a lot of updates that they are asking us to make about the content and the copy within the messages, and also the frequency and the cadence at which those messages are sent. And you know, a lot of the questions that the client has is, hey, you know, is it ever going to be okay, or at least in the short term, is it going to be okay for us to have a very playful tone in our emails? And in their particular industry, it's a luxury to be able to buy their product, and their product is available right now. It's, you know, they're not shutting down because of the industry that they're in. But their brand, you know, typically had a very playful approach with the way that they sell their products and services. And it just made us think a little bit differently about the ways that we need to communicate with their customers. So it's not that we can't be playful, but it's that we need to be to the point and very specific about what we are asking them to do within these emails. The other thing that we are seeing is, and we talked a little bit about this, Nicole, on a couple of our webinars and even the podcast that we had done, but the frequency at which, you know, brands are sending emails at this point, it's kind of all over the place. We're seeing some brands that are pulling back and just not sending as frequently as they once did. And that could be a result of them just not having much to say at this point. And then you've got the opposite end of that spectrum, where you've got, you know, people that are every step of the way using it as an opportunity to communicate. And there's good and bad in that. If you've got something relevant to say to your customers, that is important, then I think that's an important message to get out. But if you're just using it as an excuse to continue to contact your customers more frequently, it's going to fall flat a little bit, and it can seem disingenuous too. So you know, with that, I think the biggest thing for me is still going to be buried in your data. And I think the most important part, and this is something that I am personally somewhat excited about, because we've always touted or at least built out engagement segments for our customers that allow them to send relevant communications to certain segments of their customer base, depending on how engaged you are. When, you know, things are good, the economy's in a good spot, there's less uncertainty, you know, some brands are less willing to do that because they just want to communicate with their entire mailable base. Whereas at this point in time, it's really about making sure that your most loyal customers are the ones that are still open and willing to communicate with you throughout, you know, this pandemic. You know, it's important, because those are the customers that are going to ultimately continue to be with you even after things start to loosen up a bit. So I see that as being a trend going forward, in that I think a lot of brands are going to head in that direction and focus more on quality versus quantity. And we've been, you know, talking about that for a long time, but I think it's going to be less about trying to convince customers to do it and figure out smarter ways to do it and give them the ability to be a little more agile with their data.
And Nicole, I think that, you know, to answer your question really simply, you know, do we see things settling down? No. I think just based on what you see, you know, kind of out every day in the news, or you know, are kids going to go back to school, and when will stores open up, and are we going to have another shutdown? And I think we're just starting another kind of, phase of unpredictability. And I think, you know, with that uncertainty, we're going to have it for a while. You know, will sports come back in the fall? There's just a lot of uncertainty out there, and it'll be, you know, kind of hard and interesting to see how brands and marketers respond to that. As Jason said, you know, as we try and figure out, you know, what's a good communication strategy, or how should we talk to customers at this time if we sell a luxury product? Those are all things we're going to have to figure out as we move forward. Some of that may settle down, and some people may become more comfortable with that, even though, you know, things out in socially maybe aren't as settled. But I think that you know, we'll be with our clients every step of the way. And I think that, you know, as we move forward and brands move forward, it'll be important to continue to leverage data, continue to listen to the customer, and, you know, activate and test and learn too. We're all in kind of uncharted territory here. So this isn't something that we have a playbook for. I won't claim that IntiQ has developed the COVID playbook, because we haven't. We're going to be with our clients every step of the way, trying to figure this out as we move here in the next 6 months to a year.
Thank you. We've talked a lot about how your clients and how companies now are changing their communication strategies. And Jason, you touched on this. You said that companies are focusing on their most engaged customers. I want to talk a little bit about the customer responses. So are your clients, or have you noticed your clients redefining how they consider or how they define an engaged customer? Has that changed since the behavior and the marketing has changed? Has defining engaged customers changed as well? Does that look different now than it did 6-7 months ago?
Yeah, it definitely is. So you know, one thing that's always been clear to us, and there, you know, there's a lot of reasons to create engagement segments. There's a deliverability aspect of it that ensures that you're able to get into the inbox for the customers that matter. But then there's the practical side of it and being genuine with your customers. The ones that want to hear from you more frequently should be the ones hearing from you more frequently. But then there's the other side of that, which is you do have customers that are, you know, a little more passive, and they take action every so often, but maybe not as frequently as other customers. They're not less valuable. It's just you need to make sure that you are even more relevant with those particular customers. So one thing that we've definitely seen as a trend is the definition of a passive or a less engaged customer before COVID is a very different definition of passive or less engaged customer during this time. So a lot of our customers, what we are seeing is that they are almost creating like sub-segments of their less engaged customer group that says, this is a customer that was less engaged prior to the slowdown or COVID. And then these are customers that became less active during that time. And we're analyzing those segments to understand, did this customer previously engage with us very frequently versus, you know, this point in time, all of a sudden they don't have the opportunity to take advantage of our service, or, you know, for whatever reason, they're just less engaged with us. So, you know, that what's important about that is understanding what to do about it. And the, you know, Chris mentioned test and learn. And I think that is just ultra important, you know, during this time, because, you know, to Chris's point, we just don't know. I mean, it is our job to figure it out. You know, we are ultimately going to understand a little more coming out of this. But this is new territory for everybody, for brands, for customers, for agencies. You know, so we're doing a lot of learning during this particular point in time, and we'll be very prepared coming out of this. But what do we do during this time? You test, and you make sure that there is a strategy that works for your company, your brand, based on the way you send emails, the types of products that you have. There are a lot of variables that are involved in that. So the best method there is absolutely testing, but it's got to start with your data, certainly.
We talked a lot about today about the importance of data and high quality data. And I want to talk a little bit about some of the challenges companies face regarding gathering their data, compiling their data, even before COVID. I know, Chris, you've said this before, that a lot of companies are data rich and insights poor. So can you touch a little bit more on that? I know if a company wants to get started and they realize the importance of their data, what are some of the challenges that they might be facing in terms of, I have all this data, what do I do with it?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I mean, if you go back, you know, 5-7 years ago, you know, a lot of brands were still trying, especially retail brands, were trying to figure out how to collect data on their customers, right? Get more data, understand, you know, some of the buying and behaviors of their customers. So it was all about data collection. How do we get data? Now that, you know, that's passed, a lot of brands have data now, but it's now, what are we doing with that data? And we're hearing that a lot from our clients. We've got, you know, data on 5 million customers or 2 million customers and now help us do something with it. And so, you know, to do something with it, you really got to understand it. And that's where our analytics team and we really excel is taking that data and driving some meaningful insights from it. Where brands are going to be really challenged though is, you know, not only are the insights poor, they don't really have, you know, the resources, you know, maybe to spend the time with the data, or they don't have a big analytics staff to go, you know, to go plow through that data. They're feeling even more pressure now because of COVID and, you know, brands have had to scale back, right? Scale back on resources, scale back on time. You know, some marketers are wearing multiple hats. We had one client that the marketing team had to go, you know, go work in a distribution center because they were so behind on orders. There's some of those things that are just happening that have really had to, you know, have brands rethink and relook at how they're staffed and how they're resourced. You know, that all puts pressure on your strategy, on marketing, on activation, on analytics. You know, you have to make choices about what's important. And, you know, where we're trying to really help our clients, as Jason talked about it, you know, building some more tests, you know, as our retail clients especially have had stores closed, right, for weeks. So now that they're opening them up, how are customers going to respond? How are they going to engage? How are they going to interact with the brand? What can we do to start fostering some of that activity and engagement with their customers and supplying that support with, you know, with analytics, with strategy work to really help them take advantage of what's happening now. And so, you know, the insights poor piece has been a challenge, but again, it's even more of a challenge now as some of these brands are really constrained for resources, you know, to activate and learn about their customer.
Right, and it seems like the data sources just keep coming in and the resources are getting smaller. I know I'm thinking about what's happening now. You know, we have, you know, more data on what's happening with curbside pickup or in-store pickup or buy online pickup in store. So it seems like the data sources are increasing and the resources are decreasing, which is going to pose a challenge to many clients.
For sure. I mean, we you know, we have clients that have launched all those new, and a lot of times those are separate data sources, right? So you're bringing all that data together, and we really try and work hard with our clients to take a lot of that heavy lifting and that work off of them. So, you know, they struggle. A lot of our clients struggle to get IT resources or analytics resources, and we try and provide that for them and make it easy for them. That's really our goal, is to make it easy so they can do their jobs better. But it is, it's getting more complicated. There's more ways than ever to interact, to order, to pick up, to buy. And, you know, that all creates data. And so as we bring all that data together, it's our jobs to make it easy and drive insights from it.
And if I could, you know, just kind of quickly expand on that, because we have a real life situation right now where, you know, we have a client whose data team is 5 times as large as our entire company. And it's, you know, for them, it's more about getting an outsider's perspective on the pieces of data that actually make a difference right now, because it is, you can be swimming in data, and it becomes an analysis paralysis approach, where when you've got all of these things and you're trying to figure out what actually matters, we help with that. So we help identify the pieces of information that actually drive that customer's behavior. And you know, this particular client, it's in the hospitality industry. They had a real focus at the start of this year to expand their customer base to from a knowledge standpoint, to understand that there are properties elsewhere, not just within driving distance. Well, obviously that's now changed their approach. So now everything's about driving distance. How do you get there and get there safely? And how do you remain safe while you're there? So we've really had to change their data strategy from using everything we know about them to make a determination about the best customer to make this purchase at this point in time, to be more focused on what is the most relevant piece of information that we can share with this customer. And it's you know, resorts that are within driving distance. It's understanding, you know, the cycles of you know, having a weekend off to be able to visit these resorts. So it's really changed a lot about the way our customers work, and particularly in the hospitality industry, you know, they're hit extremely hard. So it's important that they recognize that data is different than it was before this, because what may have indicated that a customer was best to make this purchase or engage in your program or whatever the call to action is, could have changed, and it could be different data points that are more important than others, than they were even a few months back.
So we talked about segmenting your customers and finding the right message to send at the right time. Is that a trend that you're seeing now as well, an increased focus on personalization?
Yeah, well, so I don't know that personalization, so I may be a little, I'm probably not the best one to ask about that, because that's what we focus on always. So we are, because we are so focused on email marketing, and that is really the core of what we do as a company, Den Avier, I'm speaking of, we've always, been big proponents of personalization and relevancy within your communications. I think the biggest thing that we are focusing on for our customers right now is that right time, right place messaging. We can't, just continue with our, daily campaigns like we used to in the past, because, well, for one, a lot of the availability of the products and the services are not as great as they once were. But it's really more about the customer and focusing on the customer and what is the right communication for that particular customer. I mean, the way you really need to think about it is, if there is one thing that your customer needs to focus on today, am I providing it to them? And if the answer is no, it's not a bad thing to hold that message. That's the biggest difference that we're seeing, because a lot of our customers, again, that have a customer base that is segmented to tell them who's the most engaged, and they continue to send in a very frequent basis to those customers. And we used to see that, that was the right tactic, because it ultimately kept them engaged and kept them coming back. That's no longer working in the same way that it was. So we're seeing the shift from what used to be a really super highly engaged customer all kind of shift down to that next level of slightly less engagement than it once was. So it's, it's just a matter of shifting and making sure that you've got, things like the cadence or the frequency of that communication, is top of mind for you, and making sure that message is exactly right for this particular customer. So it really, outside of personalization, we'll call it relevancy. You've got to make sure that communication is ultimately relevant to every single customer you send it to. And also, not to harp on this too much, but when we talk about data, I think it's really important, and I think this is happening more than it's happened in the past. We do tend to look at data as just data, whereas I think we have a lot of customers now that are sort of reconciling the fact that these are customers. This is information about individual customers, and it's very, very powerful, and we have to use it in the right way. And I think what we're starting to see is maybe a little bit of more responsibility with the use of that data to create relevant communications, so that it really does feel like a one-to-one message. And that is what we have always focused on with Den Avier. I would say that we're having less of a hard time selling that as a product than we once did.
Yeah, and I would just add to that. I mean, I think personalization is always important. We strive to be, it's highly personalized with our clients, and that's where a lot of brands have wanted to go. But I do think it's taken a little bit of a backseat that, I think, customers want brands to be empathetic, right? Understand what's going on. That's just as important of a level of personalization that, hey, you know what I'm going through, or you know what's going on in my community. You know what's going on in kind of my world. That to me is just as important, and probably more important now than ever. That there's that understanding. It's not just about, I buy, red shoes or white shoes. That's certainly important to know, hey, this person's buying behavior. But right now, I think it has taken a little bit of a backseat to, brands to be conscious about their customers, what they're going through, and what's going on in the world. It's just really important. I think that brands try and bring that layer of humanity and empathy to what they do and how they communicate.
Thank you very much, Chris. And thank you again, Jason. I appreciate you both being on the podcast today. We are about out of time, so I'm going to wrap it up here. But to our listeners, thank you for tuning in today, and we'll see you next time on Turning Data into Dollars.